Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At UMKC means it's final week for this
Wait,
show
you're telling
as well.
Drew and I, we have a final in Professor Tapp's class tomorrow.
Now, do you want it cumulative? Do you guys want to like go over all of the semester's work?
Sure.
What's my grade currently, Professor? Because this
you've taken notes a couple times. You got a solid high B.
I don't remember any of these K-pop demon cultured thing. Whatever
K-pop demon hunters.
Demon hunter thing. Yeah.
Gold doesn't remember any of this. Do you remember the snow one? That one's from last week.
Oh yeah. Well, that one was a common sense lecture about
about hernias.
I was not here for that lesson.
Uh oh. Well,
wow, missed class.
I'll share my notes if you share yours.
In fairness, I was recovering from a car accident. So that was, I think that
is that
was
an excused absence.
You didn't send me a message about it. Wow. For class.
Anyway, that's tomorrow.
Right, we also ahead of time.
Fair enough. We also will have a snitch line Thursday. We do it every couple weeks, every month or so. So we'll have a snitch line Thursday tomorrow on the show. We are waiting Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Xavier Worthy. As soon as they step up to the mic, we will head out there. Just some other NFL news to pass along. Dan Quinn announced that Jaden Daniels has been ruled out. Remember, he hurt that elbow again.
They're having a cursed
season. I mean, it really is.
Cursed.
It really is. They were awesome last year. And, man, now Zach Ertz, he might be done for it. His career might be over the tight end there. Jaden Daniels. Now, as much as it was the right decision to bring him back, now that he got hurt again, they probably should just shut Jaden Daniels down. There's a difference now that there's only, by the time he comes back, going to be three games. They probably should just rest him the rest of the
way. I did correctly predict the downslide, but also not because of injury. I thought they'd be worse. You and I talked about this. Mm-hmm. They seem like a prime candidate for regression. But I didn't think Jaden Daniels was going to miss the whole season, pretty much. He's been hurt so much of it. And this goes back to the same thing. I always worry about rookie quarterbacks who play his style. This like run around, like it's just a risky style. It just feels like it can catch you faster sometimes. That's all. Like it always just feels like Drake May will stay healthy longer.
Yeah.
That's
fair. I mean, this is not that Jackson Dart ever played at the level Jaden Daniels did last year, but this is my worry if I'm the Giants is when he's looked his best, it's Jackson Dart running and he's also got himself hurt multiple times. That's really, really concerning. And again, Jackson Dart has never looked the way Jaden Daniels did look last year.
They got to shut Jaden Daniels down for the season. Just start trying to figure out parts of your roster, you know?
Yeah.
Even the NFC Championship game last year, they're going to be a top six.
Dan Quinn had a pass this year because of what he did last year. Next year, he will enter the season with pressure. If they don't make the playoffs next year, he'll get fired. That's how this whole thing works. But they should not move on from Dan Quinn. The guy got into an NFC title game last year in year one and had some terrible injury luck this year. And you move on. And next year, the expectations will be different. And I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury will be back as the OC or Cliff might get a head coaching gig there for somebody else in the NFL and leave the Commanders. That's when it gets trickier for Dan Quinn if he has to find a new OC.
Currently, they would be the sixth overall pick because of tiebreakers, but they have the same record as one, two, three, four, five other teams or four
Jane
other
Daniels
teams,
so. With Carnell Tate in a final year of Terry McLaurin or so.
Yeah, that's a good little crew.
That wouldn't be bad. Again, this goes back to the Jamar Chase thing when I thought Cincinnati was in the top 10. It's like, if you can get an elite weapon to go with an elite quarterback because it's the one time you're picking in the top 10, go for it. Because very rarely, if you have an elite level quarterback, are you picking in the top 10 and can actually pair them with somebody good? Chiefs currently have the 14th overall pick, by the way, and have the same record as two other teams.
And my guess is they're going to end up picking like 17th when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that feels right.
I wonder if the...
The worship pick is 18th if you miss the playoffs. So
okay,
where are the Ravens at now? Because I think the Ravens, to your point, Cody, are kind of in a similar boat. Not
13th versus 14th.
You know, they aren't far enough down yet. But I mean, if you're Baltimore, let's get somebody to help Lamar out because that's been one of the things for Lamar is like he hasn't had that guy, you know, if you will. I mean, Zay Flowers is really good, obviously, but I mean, potentially getting somebody else like that too to help him.
The current teams who'd pick that are not in the playoffs below Kansas City are Dallas, Carolina, Detroit, and Indianapolis. All right, actually, the Jets pick.
Andy Reid is speaking to the media. Let's go out there right now on 96.5 The Fan.
Wanye and Juwan. Wanye is going to take a little time here, but Juwan's making progress, and we'll just see how he does this week as he works through this thing. Trey, the rest of the guys are practicing today. Look forward to the challenge of playing, excuse me, playing the Chargers. Good football team, a great environment for football game. And our guys are going to have a good week of practice this week and get themselves ready to roll. So with that, time's yours.
Yeah, Andy, just one. Trey, do you feel good about where he's at right now?
Yeah, well, we'll see how he does today. He'll be in there today, though. Yeah, just feeling better, though.
Do you believe that Trey McDuffie kind of dodged the bullet with that hyperextended knee, or is there a possibility that you're seeing what he's at?
Yeah, we'll just see how today. Let's see how today goes. He, you know, he's been sore, so we'll see how it works through the week. But he'll go today and see what he can do.
Coach. What have you seen so far from the guys, like attitude-wise, attacking this week? I know this is an unfamiliar position for most of you guys on the staff for a long time. What have you seen from them so far?
Yeah, they want to get to work. You know, that's kind of how they're wired, and so I think they're eager to get back on the field and get going. You know, everybody knows. I mean, they know where we stand right now. They know what's taking place. So. Very aware, but they also like to work. So I'll get back to it.
Andy, when you look at the receivers room, just I know that had to be a very frustrating day for them, and along with Travis too in the tight end room. But just what's their room been like throughout the course of this, and just trying to make sure they correct their
mistakes? Yeah, sure. These guys, they've got good hands, and they're proud guys that normally catch the football. So things happen in this business. Where you might drop a ball once in a while. So you got to go back and you got to catch a few more balls at practice and focus in on it, and we go from there.
Andy, on that topic, you know, when you're calling plays or designing plays, and you know, the plays are obviously the ones that will draw, how do you adjust to versus react to those moments?
I got trust in the guys. I mean, that's not... It's not a common thing for the guys that have had some mishaps there. So they'll work through it. You know, that's what you do. I mean, they're good players. And we're always looking at it from a coach's standpoint. Can we put them in better positions? So we're never going to stop doing that either. Try to work to their strengths.
Given you missed so much time last year, and had this game suspension to start this season, and just how interested and fascinated are you to see how Rasheed does respond to, you know, some of the mistakes he's had over the last
He's a tough dude, young guy with a lot on his plate, you know, and he's powering through it to the best of his ability right now, and that's how he's going about his business. He comes to work and works, and it's unfortunate that he had a couple of these drops, but you know, it's not for lack of effort or focus that way. But to say he doesn't have a lot of things going, yeah, there are a lot of things going there.
Is part of it just due to the natural progression of trying to be a number one receiver and defense is sort of identifying you more so than say in 2023 when he was a young player, obviously in his rookie season?
I don't think that. I think he understands that, and he's had some good games too. So it's not, we get locked in on the last couple here with the drops, and that's not normal for him.
No, I know that Juwan's availability could shake it up, but just confidence in Pole if it has to be him again off the one start at left tackle.
Yeah, it'd be good to see him again if he has a, you know, if he's got to be in there. He showed some nice things. It's always a challenge the second time when they have tape on you. So you gotta, if you're getting in there, you better keep practicing and detailing your work. Yeah, it's important.
Coach, on that front, do you remember kind of what, I mean, obviously you guys liked that, so you brought him back when you had a chance to get him back. But remember what the conversations were and what kind of thinking was when you did end up losing him and why you didn't make that initial 53?
You know, we took him originally just because we thought he'd be a good player. You got to juggle the numbers, you know, which is always a challenge. And so he got poached there, taken. And when he got unpoached, we poached him. It's pretty simple. We got him back here as quickly as we could.
I mean, you may have had a chance to watch the Chargers live on Monday night. What have you seen from them this year and recently?
Yeah, good football team all the way around, offensively, defensively. They've been banged up a little bit up front, but they've worked through it. Tough quarterback, playing aggressive football. And they're well coached. Defensively, they're one of the top defense. I know I say this every week, but we've been playing some good defenses. They're one of the top defenses in a few of those categories there, man, that are important. And so it's a nice challenge.
Coach, there's different formulas out about, you know, how you guys can get into the playoffs. Do you look at any of that stuff?
I know you need to win games, what you have to do. So focus straight ahead, you know, on that. I've been here before, and you bear down and you go. Try to keep all that stuff. Brett Beach, he can deal with all that. He likes all that.
Coach, what have you seen this week from Patrick, like leadership-wise? Because this is unfamiliar for him as well to be in this spot.
He's great. I mean, he's coming to work, and you know, he keeps his head up at all times and understands he's in a leadership position. He's a good leader. So nothing you can do but try to get better. That's if you're hanging your head, you're not getting any better. Surely not making anybody, or including the whole team, you're not making them better. So,
Jesse? Just big picture, can you evaluate you guys, where you guys are offensively right now, just where you feel like you guys are?
Yeah, we've been up and down, so we need more consistency. And that's what we're striving to get here. Yeah. We've had some great days, great plays, but you have to do it for four quarters in this business. And so we've got to be more consistent.
Nate?
You guys signed Damian Pierce a couple weeks ago. Just what would you like to see this week of practice and the potential that maybe he could be available for some days?
Yeah, so I think he's still getting acclimated to everything here. I like the kid. I can tell he's sharp and into it. And we don't have any injuries going on, so the guys that know the stuff are playing right now. But I sure like the way he goes about his business. You see why he's a good player before.
Yeah, last year you guys did this twice with Tyquan Thornton, Robert Tonyan. Both those guys obviously had the full offseason, made the team. Is there a similar path for Damian Pierce if the timing just isn't right for this particular
potential season? Yeah, no, he seems like he's all in on things, and I've heard nothing but good things about him. So, yeah. He's been welcomed here that way.
Coach,
Okay. Thanks, Coach.
All right, good.
All right, you're listening to Andy Reid here on KFNZ, FM and AM, HD1, HD2, Kansas City, at Odyssey Station here on 96.5 The Fan. We're expected to hear from Patrick Mahomes in just a minute or so. This is Cody in Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. A couple things, you know, he was asked from Nate Taylor, the Rashee Rice conversation that we're going to have again coming up in about, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes, which is about the drops. And maybe he was specifically just talking about Rice, but this idea that like drops are uncommon. Nope, no, they're not. Maybe for Rice in his career, but as a team, you're second in the league in drops, and you were a couple of years ago leading the league in drops. I think 2022.
They make a lot of simple mistakes. They've just never, we notice them more this year because it's actually costing them wins.
Right.
Before, it wasn't costing them wins all the time. It wasn't costing them big games. Now it is. They have always had discipline issues. They've always been penalized. They've always dropped the football. They've never been aggressive. Like, Andy can tell you things that aren't true. The sky is not green. Several things have been true about the Chiefs the entire run. It just hasn't. That's what makes this year frustrating. You notice it, Gold. You notice it because of where they are in the standings. Because they're 6-7 and they're going to miss the playoffs.
On the injury front, Wanya Morris, as we all know, I mean, we all saw there's no way he was playing, but Wanya Morris and Juwan Taylor not practicing. Juwan Taylor was the one where you were hoping maybe you would get an update that the tricep injury was improving and a good enough way to practice. He will not. Trey Smith, though, ankle injury, is going to practice, and so we'll see if he's a full participant or not. So as of a Wednesday, it's trending towards maybe you get Trey Smith back. Doesn't look great still that you're going to get Juwan. And Wani, we all saw what happened. That was an ugly, ugly knee injury for him. He was in crutches after the game. Felt bad for him.
So a decent shot. Esapole would make the start, you would think. Yeah. And I guess it left tackle? That's how they did it with... Yeah. Wanya Morris.
Well, that's just how they played. They just saw him, so they would probably keep Jalen Moore at right tackle in that scenario. Yeah. Why would you switch?
You would
it?
Only switch Jalen Moore once Juwan Taylor is ready and available to come back. But if that's not the case and he's not ready anyway, then we're probably continuing waiting on that. Look, they could use anybody back if they want to try to make this miracle run that you and I don't think is plausible in any real conceivable way. Getting Trent McDuffie and Trey Smith back would certainly help their odds of winning against the Chargers this Sunday, but I'm still not optimistic about that.
The Dameon Pierce part, I thought it was a good follow-up question at the end. It does feel like if he's not going to be active again this week, based on what Andy said, so it feels like if anything, it's more of a, he knows our system. He's not officially on a futures contract, but maybe that's what this turns out to be, where basically in the offseason, if they like what they see, they could sign him and he could be part of the running back room next year. It sure sounds like he's not going to play this year.
Of all the unpredictability, and then I know we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes here in a minute, of all the unpredictability of this season, you know what was the most predictable thing that was going to happen? That the running back room wasn't good enough. I mean, I can't emphasize how much we hammered that and yet still got nowhere.
The day that they, and this is weird because Kareem Hunt has actually been the only real positive in the running game this year, but when they re-signed Kareem Hunt, I remember it was the 1 o'clock hour in March or whatever it was.
Briscoe was getting ready to come in.
And it happened right before Josh walked in. And we're like, does this mean they're not going to draft a running back high? Does this mean they're not going to sign a running back? And that was the whole conversation. And they did draft a running back, Rashard Smith. They waited till the seventh round, and they won't play him very often. I think we all agree that there seems to be something there, but they don't. Okay, all right. I tend to disagree, but they haven't at this point. And so they didn't commit heavy resources to the running back spot. And I say heavy. I shouldn't even use that word.
They didn't commit any resources. The seventh-round pick is not a resource.
J.K. Dobbins signed with Denver. He's now gotten hurt again, in fairness, but he was looking great early. Javonte Williams was a free agent running back.
For less money than they paid Elijah Mitchell.
We can go on and on and on. Yeah, Elijah Mitchell's been active one game. Uh-huh. That's it. So, yeah, the running back room, they have to find more explosiveness in the running back room. They do not have a running back on the roster this year, and it's been a couple years, that can take a 10-yard run because of good scheme and blocking and turn it into 30, turn it into 20. And they just don't have that in their offense, and that can make things easier for the guy we're about to hear from right now, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, I think just knowing the guys, you know, the mindset that they have is they're going to try to get better and try to go out there and win football games. And that, at the end of the day, that's what we got to do. It's everybody. It's throwing the ball in the right spots, catching the ball. It's blocking. It's defense playing like they did this last game, and then just trying to find ways to win. That's what this is all about. So it doesn't always have to be pretty, but you got to find ways to win football games, and that's something we have to be better at.
Patrick, in what way, if at all, does where you guys are affect this week
during the game, do you feel it at all?
I mean, we understand we got to win. I mean, I think that's obvious. I mean, just like you got to win the football game, and so whatever it takes, you know. I mean, we say that every week, but obviously you're kind of at that back against the wall type spot where you're playing a team that's you're chasing that has a big lead in front of you, and so you got to find a way to win. And so you got to have that mindset when you step on the football field.
Patrick, what stood out to you the most looking back at your own game Sunday? What sorts of things will stay with you?
Yeah, just little things here and there. I mean, just trying to keep drives going. And there's times to be aggressive, and there's times when you just get the ball out of your hand and let guys make plays. And I think that was something that when I look back at myself is there were certain times in certain spots of the game where I could have maybe taken a completion instead of trying to go for the home run shot. So that's stuff I have to continue to get better at.
When it comes to this Chargers defense, obviously playing them in Brazil seems so long ago. Have you seen any differences, or do you see a lot of the same attacking type of moves?
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's differences, and there's the same. You know, they you get better as the season goes on. You learn about yourself, and they do a good job of the defensive line kind of playing as a unit, getting to the quarterback. The linebackers fly around with speed, and obviously Derwin can play kind of the secondary or kind of in the box as well. And so they have a great job of kind of playing complementary football together as a defense, and then they have a great defensive coordinator. And so it's a heck of a challenge for us, and so we're excited for it.
When I guess you're in the situation, doubt can creep in within the team. I guess what gives you the confidence still that
you could rip four games off in a row?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of how I'm wired. You know, it's just that I believe that this team can win any football game. But we have to come and show that. And so this will be a great challenge for us, and we understand that. And we'll have to have a great week of practice, try to prepare ourselves, and then just try to win it on Sunday.
What's your responsibility as far as during the week to make sure nobody's down, right? Because this is really unfamiliar territory for almost everybody on this roster to be in the hunt, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, you have to just make sure you have a great day of practice. You know, we had a great walkthrough. We just came from, and now it's just going into practice and have a great day of practice, kind of getting extra work in with the guys on the side like I always do. And then when you're in that practice and that work, you have conversations with guys and kind of keep them in the right mindset. But I haven't had any looks at like seeing guys down or anything like that. Obviously, you want to win, and guys hate losing. But at the end of the day, we know that we have to handle our business first. We have to win the football games and then let the rest kind of handle itself.
As you look back to Sunday and maybe review film, how protected did you feel behind the offensive line with some replacements?
Yeah, I thought they did a great job. You know, that's a great defensive line, and with a lot of guys coming in kind of in the game as well and then kind of stepping up, I thought they did a great job of fighting and battling. And giving me time to make some of these throws down the field. And so they'll have to continue that. This is another great challenge for them. And hopefully we get some guys back as well. So it'll be a great challenge for us as an offense to go up against this defense.
From that perspective, what do you think it'll take for you guys to find more solutions when it comes to man coverage? I know that's something you guys have had to counterattack multiple times throughout your career. But it seems like more teams are getting comfortable playing man coverage.
Yeah, I mean, we have to keep giving them different looks and different things to beat the man coverage as far as giving our guys opportunities to get themselves open. And then I think what will be important is getting with our guys and knowing what's their best routes against man coverage and getting them those routes in the right situation. And so that's stuff that we've done. And we kind of go through waves of being able to beat it, and then kind of teams kind of obviously adjust and stuff like that. So we have to make those adjustments as well again and showcase that we can beat the man coverage. And then whenever they get in zone, showcase we can beat that as well.
The offensive line, then, you know, outsiders, everyone thought it was going to be a really rough day. You were going to have to get rid of the ball super quick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the line did hold up better than I think everybody outside this building probably thought it was going to. Did you feel yourself gaining confidence during the game? Is that the kind of mental checklist you're going through that, hey, it's working pretty good? I mean, do you have more time than I thought?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think they just did a great job in general. Like, I have trust in those guys. But until you're out there on the football field, you never know. And I thought they did a great job against a great defensive line. And so just continue to build more and more trust with them, giving them more chances so I can give receivers better chances down the field.
Gotcha. What are your thoughts on your alma mater, and what inspired you most about Texas Tech this year?
No, it's just really cool because, I mean, obviously you can say you're going to do things and you can put money into it, but you got to build the culture. You know, you got to build the culture of what it's about, and you can see it when they play football is that they truly love each other. And so for them to be able to get into the playoffs, win the Big 12 championship, which I know was their first goal, and have an opportunity to go compete for a national championship, I'm excited to watch them go through that process.
Todd?
Kind of on that front, I saw this quote from Troy Aikman about he had done some NIL stuff, and you're involved in the NIL there, and
and he didn't work out. He like didn't get a thank you note, whatever. I mean, have you enjoyed being a part of that NIL bit at Tech? And it seems like I'm sure you feel the love down there. There's not a lot of stuff.
Yeah, no, they definitely have shown me love. They always have. And then I've done some helping out with NIL stuff, but. I mean, like they'll put my name on a room that I haven't done anything to even put on the room. So I mean, they definitely show me love, and I mean, it kind of goes vice versa. I really like to see the people that are in charge there and how they've had success because they're the right people. You know, Coach McGuire, Kirby Hocut, Baron Morton playing quarterback. Like all these guys have went through the process of building the program, and so it's cool to see them have success. Add along with all the other guys and how they've kind of all bought into the brand.
Blair. And speaking of culture, you guys have that here, and is that something that you can use to help get you through this final month? Is kind of lean on the culture that you guys have developed here?
Yeah, you're gonna have to. You know, we were in unprecedented territory, so a place that we haven't been since I've been here, and so I think you lean on the guys that have kind of battled through adversity and came out better on the other side, and so. That's Chris, Trav, all these guys that have won championships. You know, it hasn't always been pretty, but it'll really test us to see what type of character we are, and I think we got the guys in the room to do it.
Steve?
Patrick, I don't know if you saw it, but Katie was asked about the criticism you received, and he said no matter what, you still, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Just want to get your thoughts on, you know, a guy like Katie saying that about you.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get any compliment from one of the greats of any profession, it's special, and so I still have a long ways to go. I always say I still have a lot left in my career, we've built something special here in Kansas City, and I don't take that for granted. We're going to go out there and execute it and do whatever we can to keep building as my career goes on.
Last one, Sam.
Patrick, do you draw on different things for motivation throughout the year? Do you have to draw on something different? You called it unprecedented territory for where you guys typically are. Do you draw on something different because of that, or do you find it to be the same?
I mean, I always want to win, so it's not like I have to draw too far. But, I mean, when I look at it now, it's like, I mean, I don't know what the percentages are, but I know they're not high. And I think it'd be special if we get into the playoffs and can make a run. So why not give ourselves a chance to do that? And we have to start by winning football games. And so that's what we'll start at.
All right, so that was Patrick Mahomes speaking live here on 96.5 The Fan. Said they're in unprecedented territory with a 6-7 start. Obviously, that is certainly the case. In his time as a starting quarterback, they have never been in a spot like this. And I'm sure it's also a weird, not only a weird feeling, but even when you're frankly asked questions, if you're Mahomes, you're at the podium, and like they're not idiots. He knows that the odds of making it are very, very slim. But you have to convince yourself and the rest of the team that hey. We can still do this. Like, that's the mindset. These guys are extremely competitive individuals. Like, that's not how they operate.
Things happen.
I'm
Let's
sure
play.
You have to admit, though, this is tougher than it ever has been, though, probably to convince yourself that you still have a shot.
Yeah, I think so. Right. Otherwise, then, yeah, why not just pack it up? Close up shop. Say, well, you know, that shoulder's been bothering you, Worthy, so if it needed off-season surgery, you can just go ahead and have that now. And, you know, just play Gardner Minshew the rest of the way. Like, no, that's not the mindset. They are still, and inside the Chiefs locker room, whether we think it's going to happen or not is irrelevant. They are statistically alive for a playoff spot. If you are statistically alive for a playoff spot and your starting quarterback is still available, then you should be going for it. Look, if you're a team who's statistically alive, who has lost so many pieces it's not plausible, then you know we can have a different conversation about whether or not you should be rooting for them to lose. I'm not rooting for the Chiefs to go 0-4. I would if you made me choose between 0-4 and 4-0, I'm choosing 4-0 because that gives them a shot at the playoffs. And I, you know, like, and for whatever it's worth, as bad as this season's gone and all the things that have gone wrong, if the Chiefs did win their next four games and all those other things happened and they got in the playoffs, you can damn sure bet, Gold, I will talk myself into them having a run. I assure you I'll talk myself into it because I'll still see Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback. Like, I don't think they're getting there, but if they did, I'd be probably having that conversation with myself, you know?
On Wednesdays, don't forget our lunch partner here on Cody and Gold, our friends over at Jefferson's, whether it's football season, and before we know it, it'll be baseball season again. Great place to watch your favorite team, great daily specials, great happy hour. Locations in Lenexa, North KC, Lawrence, Topeka, in Joplin. Of course, bring your friends and family out to Jefferson's. Jefferson's wings, burgers, oysters, and each and every Wednesday around this time, your chance to win a $50 gift card. two Jeffersons can be used at any of those locations. We'll do caller number seven. Seven losses, sorry. 913-586-7967. 913-586-7965. You got me very confused. I gave a wrong number now because it's 6-7.
6-7 too much.
586-7965. All right. Seventh caller. Thank you. Drew will hook you up with a $50 gift card to Jefferson.
Do you know the hand gesture that goes with 6-7 by now? Yeah, okay, I'm just making sure.
Come on. I'm not that. I mean, I may not have kids, but I'm aware of this.
It's kind of hard to miss.
There's also athletes doing it after scoring touchdowns. Xavier Worthy, I think, did it a couple weeks ago.
He did. Someone in the Chiefs game, I think, in the last week did it.
Did they?
Or at least it looked like it, and we all assume it's that way in case.
Everybody had the 6-7 joke going after the Sunday night. I understand that.
Oh, yeah. It was time. It was time to fire it off. No, I just, I don't know. This team is such a weird place. I imagine keeping the motivations high is a challenge and is going to continue to be a challenge. Quickly, before we had gone to, before we played Patrick Mahomes, we were talking about the running backs there for a minute. Again, I just want to go back to that in the sense that some things are predictable. I'm sorry. When we say Kareem Hunt's been good, yeah, he's been fine. Zero explosion. And I think the only reason we're saying he's been good is because he's been good in short yardage. He's good at one thing. The rest of it is not like, is he even averaging, like genuinely, is he averaging 4 yards a carry?
I don't know. All I know is Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt, the 1-2 punch, if we can call it that, is not a punch at all.
Not a punch, yeah. A flick at best.
Yeah.
Whatever weakness category you want to put it under, it certainly would land in there. I just want to look up. He is averaging 3.8 yards per carry. We don't have to like pretend Kareem Hunt's season is something it's not. You know what Kareem Hunt's been good at? 3rd-and-1. 4th-and-1. Other than that, he's not very good. He's not any better than any below average running back in the course of the NFL. He's dropped multiple passes out of the backfield, still not a receiving threat. Isaiah Pacheco's been hurt and worse, and they won't put Rashard Smith on the field. It stinks as a running back unit, but this was not like a, oh no, what happened? We knew. And you, Brett Veach, help me play.
It's not the, what? This is December 10th. It's not the first Wednesday. It's not the first Wednesday of the month. This better not be the sounder that I think it is.
Oh, it is sounder that you're thinking of.
This sounder,
this
sounder typically has been used for one thing and one thing only on this show, and that is for mock drafts. And let me double check. Yes, December 10th, 2025. I said no mock drafts for the 2026 draft until we're in the year of the 2026 draft, as in we have to wait till the first week of January. What are we doing?
I couldn't help myself, fellas, because Field Yates came out with a mock draft, and I don't think you're going to like where it goes because
is it Jeremiah Love?
Because it relates to what you were just talking about.
No, I don't like it because we're talking draft on December 10th. That's why I don't like it.
And you might hate it more because with the 14th pick, Field Yates has the Chiefs taking Jeremiah Love, running back from Notre Dame.
But he's a hell of a player.
He is.
That's not the issue. He's a hell of a player. He's going to finish probably 3rd or 4th in Heisman voting. Great player. The Chiefs should not spend their first pick, as much as we know they need a running back, on Jeremiah Love at 14. Now, you want to tell me they trade back and he's there at 19 or 20, we can have a different conversation. Maybe some of this is still the scar tissue from the Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing, and Jeremiah Love is a way better back than Clyde ever was in college, too. But and Clyde was a pretty good back
Jonathan
at
Taylor
LSU.
Was right there, man.
I'm upset. You got me fired up because I do not want mock draft sounders happening until 2026.
Hey, well, but it's fun.
This is the point where we're at This is the point where we're at. I know they still technically have a shot, but I don't think this is a bad thing looking
this
at this. I will say, do you want to hear
on this show,
you want to hear some of the descriptions? So Fugis does mention they might have some pause after the pick of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but Love is too good to pass up. He is amazingly explosive, agile, and balanced runner who effortlessly makes defenders miss. He's got 60 forced missed tackles on just 199 carries. The dude is a highlight reel.
He doesn't have the same workload that Ashton Jeanty had, so that's the positive.
He
too.
Also is averaging 10.4 yards per catch.
Look,
that he has, and he is a guy that out of the backfield has been very good in the passing game.
He is a great fit, and I was wrong when the Lions took Jahmyr Gibbs, and I can still hate this. Is that okay? Like every once in a while, it does work. I feel like I'm still allowed to hate this.
Part for the of reason that the biggest need, yes,
defensive line. You're going to hear me say that 100 more times before the draft, if not 1,000.
Any mock draft that doesn't have a defensive lineman, Gold's going
to
be
the first pick of the Chiefs draft has to be some. I don't know who defensive linemen. If they end up trading and they get multiple first-round picks, then sure, they could take a running back with one of their first-round picks if they end up with two of them. It cannot be the only first-round pick that they take, especially if it's 14. And Jeremiah Love can go on and have a really nice career. This is not like an anti-Jeremiah Love thing.
What level of running back as a pro would you have to lock in to use the 14th overall pick? If I said he is right now Bijan Robinson as he currently sits, that's what he'll be when he gets in the league, and we know it as a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough?
Yes.
Christian McCaffrey. Is there, like, what's
well,
the level?
Yes, obviously.
If it's McCaffrey, it's a lock.
Obviously, yes.
But if you knew he was Jahmyr Gibbs right now, well, yes.
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs is the best running back in football right now. He really is.
I mean, Bijan might finish with 1,000.
Yeah,
and this offense, he's another guy. Yeah.
The only pushback, and you're right, it's this offense. In Atlanta, I hadn't done anything for them.
No, but we know for the Chiefs it would mean more than... I told you, I actually think in a weird way you can take better risk like that as a team that has the other pieces, because the mistake these teams make is they take a running back when they don't even have a quarterback. That's why Jahmyr Gibbs worked, right? They have a quarterback.
To me, it's just the balance. Like, we can all acknowledge that they need more explosiveness in the backfield, that they have not invested there in a while, that it's become something they've completely ignored here as of late, and that has to change. While also not feeling like they have to spend their highest draft pick in the Brett Veach era, in the Brett Veach era, I guess it would be, on a running back. That's all.
He is, historically, I'll say right now, he has one big incomplete because Simmons, if he ends up being an all-pro or Pro Bowl caliber left tackle, the grading system's going to go up. And half the years he's been the GM, he does not have a first-round pick. We break this down tomorrow. He's not exactly hit on his early round picks to great success. Because Worthy right now is having the first two same years statistically as Mecole Hardman did.
Somebody asked what size is Jeremiah Love. He's 6'2", 215.
Not even like a small back. All
right, since you already broke the glass open here and decided to do a mock draft.
He's averaging 7 yards a carry right now.
2025, not 2026. Now I'm curious. Tell me what some of the other highlights are.
Yeah, who goes number one? Fernando Mendoza?
Yes, Fernando Mendoza. And by the way, this field has a trade for in order to get Fernando Mendoza. Yeah. That is,
why are we doing trades in mock
that's
drafts?
That's the Jets moving up to number one with the projected first-round pick of the Giants to get Fernando Mendoza. The Raiders at number two take Dante Moore. The Titans take Arvel Reese, edge and linebacker out of Ohio State.
It's so far from the draft, I don't even know who any of these people are.
I don't have my scouting reports.
You know who Fernando Mendoza and Dante Moore are.
I know who Fernando... yeah, but then you got to the third person. I didn't even know who you were talking about.
Arvel Reese might be the second best player on that defense.
I don't have my superlatives ready to go yet. It's too early. The knee bend, hip, you know, all that. I don't have all that.
Carnell Tate to the Browns.
Powerful
four.
Lower body. We don't have any of that.
I'll get to the AFC West teams as well. They do have the Bengals taking Reuben Bain Jr., thankfully. Again, who's to say they won't take an offensive player?
He'll be a bust. Poor guy.
Reuben Bain is big time.
If they take another offensive player, fire the GM. Malpractice.
Yeah.
We think the Chiefs can't take a running back. If the Cincinnati Bengals take any player on offense, it's malpractice.
Yep. Duke Tobin should be gone. But anyways, getting to... So we already mentioned the Raiders.
He almost has his name. This is why he fails. And he's got a stupid name. Of course, somebody named Duke Tobin is not succeeding. That's a stupid name.
At 24, he has the Chargers taking Oliva Vega Ione, guard out of Penn State.
Sure.
And then he has the Denver Broncos at 32, mind you. Taking Chris Bell, wide receiver out of Louisville. He's one of those guys that's big, tall, can go catch the football on High Point, by the way. One of those guys the Chiefs could be interested in, depending on where he falls. They also have the Rams at 31, taking Ty Simpson out of Alabama.
Oh, I like that. I kind of like that.
I saw one. This was a different mock draft. I don't know what it would take, but they had the Rams trading up to number one to take Mendoza. I don't know how that would happen or what they'd have to give up.
Their GM used to say, F them picks, that shirt or whatever it was, right?
And if they landed, if Mendoza was a hit too, you would...
Less need.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right. There's a very, very, very
Earliest mock draft.
I'm way surprised Bink has not texted in.
Somebody mentioned Peter Woods. Peter Woods was taken before the Chiefs pick. Peter Woods is one of the best, if not the best, interior defensive linemen in the draft.
That's the name.
Point blank. Him or David Bailey, but Peter Woods is that guy.
Binkley probably doesn't even have a mock draft out yet.
Oh, yes, he does.
No. We actually rang the sounder
when you were gone.
When you were gone and Bink was filling in.
And he had a mock?
Yeah, he had him taking Christian Miller, defensive lineman from Georgia.
Okay. Well, at least we didn't beat Bink. So, you know, that's a good sign. We didn't beat him to the mock draft situation.
All right, up next, we teased it earlier. We just ran out of time. I want to get back into Rashee Rice a little bit and what Nate Taylor told us yesterday about the effort level, although you heard Andy asked about that. So we'll react and what it means about a future.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed's sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Contract. Back here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, Josh Klingler, chief sideline reporter, will join us. Since he's been on the sidelines for these games, the Chiefs haven't been in this spot either, right? This is unprecedented territory for Josh Klingler as well. Usually when he's on the sideline, everything's
on. What's he going to do in January?
If they're not in the playoffs, it's a wide open January, I think, for Josh Klingler. So we'll ask him about that in the 1 o'clock hour today. In fact, I believe right around 1:30 or so, right after What's Trending. We usually have him join us a little bit earlier, moved him to 1:30 or so. I want to talk about Rashee Rice, though, and then we can get into some comments from Xavier Worthy, who just wrapped up talking to the media as well. So yesterday when Nate joined us, we asked him what he made of just this wide receiver room right now. I mean, this is a receiving room that is dropping the football all seemingly weekly now. They tied for second in the league in drops. Now, some of those are Travis Kelce too, but still the entire receiving group. We know Rashee Rice has had some crucial ones. Xavier Worthy will flash at times and then Other times he's not existent, and I understand he's got an ankle injury and a dislocated shoulder, and I think when the season's over, we're going to find out just how hurt he really was in playing. But Rashee Rice is somebody, you got the off-the-field issues, you miss six games, you come back, you're the number one wide receiver for this team, you've got everything in the world to play for individually, too, based off of financial situation and the kind of money that you could earn in the future. And listen to what Nate told us yesterday. It's a little bit longer cut, but it was about not winning in man-to-man coverage, which is what you want your number one wide receiver kind of expect important. To do.
Yeah.
And then, most importantly, the effort part.
Hey, man, like, the offense was kind of all over the place because you weren't around for the first 6 weeks, okay? You came back. They got you in the mix. And then the Buffalo Bills straight up asked you, you ready to beat man coverage? And then the Denver Broncos asked you the next week, straight up, hey, bro, you ready to beat man coverage? Okay. Now, any team with any pulse is going to say, hey, man, that's Derek Stingley. You ready to beat man coverage? It has become apparent that although he can create space, although he does have a good telepathic sense for what Patrick likes, especially when he scrambles, he does not give good effort when it's man-to-man, period.
Now, Andy was asked about that just, I don't know, 20 minutes ago, and he, of course, pushed back on that. He said it's not for a lack of effort. Now, he was talking specifically the drops.
Yes, he was.
In general, but
not every route. He was speaking about just general effort, not specific to this.
Look, the production in the numbers, if you extrapolate it out, he's pacing for a 1,200-yard season, which nobody's saying he stinks. That's not the argument.
The more yards per game than he had the four games last year.
The question is, before the season, us and fans were asking the question, is he have a chance to become one of those really, really special wide receivers that you count on consistently and third downs, as in become a top 15, maybe even crack the top 10 at some point in his career in the very near future. And while the numbers are going to say pacing for 1,200, top 10, top 15 receivers aren't dropping these crucial third down passes as much as he has. Nobody's saying CeeDee Lamb's never dropped passes. He had a primetime game where he dropped like four of them to open up the season, I think it was. So it happens. So nobody's saying you catch 100% of the passes. However, some of these aren't deep passes, 50-50 balls. I mean,
these are third down, third and four in your hand, 10 yards down the field. I think there's probably something a little bit to this. Look, he's just having a weird year. He's going to go to jail for 30 days at some point later in it. Team might very well miss the playoffs, and he missed the first six games for the same reason he's going to have to go to jail for 30 days. So he's not having a great 2025, admittedly. The yardage-wise still puts him on par with. By the time this season finishes, there won't be that many wide receivers who finish with 1,200 yards receiving, which he would have done. My problem with what Worthy has turned into this year is it is the most mundane.
Worthy or Rice.
Or Rice, sorry. It is the most mundane 1,200 yards someone can get, in the sense that for the longest part of the season, he needed 14 targets and 10 catches.
Let's be clear, though. He's pacing for 1,200. He's not getting to 1,200. He's going to end up with like 850 or 900.
I'm just saying, based on where he's been, he needs 14 targets and 10 catches for 71 yards to get it. He has got to be more explosive and more consistent. And the explosiveness, I can explain when year one of coming back from a devastating lower leg injury, but that's the problem. Gold, in the history of time, the extension that normally comes is now. Now, right now. After year three, you don't have a fifth-year option. You don't go into a dead year where that if he has a massive year, you have to overpay him or franchise tag him. They're going to have to make a very difficult decision now on whether or not to pay Rashee Rice, is my guess. And my instinct, despite the fact I would have thought, no way, I kind of lean no. Maybe it depends on what happens in the draft.
Next year's.
I don't know, man. I'm not moved to tears on it. I wouldn't be offended if they went into the year.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're right. This would normally, this offseason would be the time you would do it, but I think his circumstances are very unique based on how you already outlined his off-the-field problems that cost him six games this year, and he has consequences still to pay up for that. I think you go into next year and play it out. You just play it out.
And then you franchise tag him or give him the big check. I don't want to make. The only difference in paying him now is it's a big discount right now.
I understand, but I would. How much of a discount are you getting? Is it worth that, or do you just play
85%
it out?
Of comp, maybe?
I think there's some part, and I don't know if the Chiefs will operate this way. This is just me speaking, but like, would I not want him to prove to me that he can have another clean offseason?
Like, no trouble, no injury.
He did. This past offseason was clean. Remember, the accident occurred the year before.
Yeah.
So, can he prove to me that he can have two offseasons in a row? There's no issues.
Getting a whole extra month, too, to, you know, avoid trouble. Yeah.
True.
At this point. Is that throwing?
Yes. We get it, Cody. I would want him to prove that he can have another clean offseason. I don't think I need a rush to do it. You're right that there's potential discount here, but is it really worth that? I don't know.
I just, you know, I'm really torn on him because I thought he was going to leap into this top 15 category. Like, it just, you watched him last year. I thought he could. I didn't know if I thought he would. Mm-hmm. I had kind of set what I thought was a reasonable standard going in for Rashee Rice the first year back, and I thought missing the six games mattered more than it did. But his consistency, again, last year in four games. Now, in the fourth game, he was hurt in the first quarter. So he was doing better than this. But in the four games, he averaged 72 yards a game. It was obviously going higher than that for the first three games. This year, he's averaging 74.3. So he's actually averaging more yards per game. He's averaging a similar number of yards per target. It's not, yards per reception. So yards per target's down a couple of yards. So like maybe a slight difference. But he's not been bad. I don't want to try to pretend like Rashee Rice has been a bad wide receiver. That's just factually not true. The issue is that I thought him stepping back into this offense would just fix a lot of their problems, honestly. They're out here throwing to rookie wide receivers and Xavier Worthy and all these other things. Gold, I thought some of their problems would just be solved with Rashee Rice. And they're not. And like, I need a position player right now, similar to like Travis Kelce did for years for Kansas City. I need a solver. That's part of the issue I have with paying him is like, do you fix enough of these problems? Do you fix enough problems on offense in order to like make this money worth it?
Yeah, I just think you can keep him on your roster for multiple years without having to do that extension.
Next year in a franchise, I just want
to make sure, given the off the field stuff, that it's something that he can stay on the straight and narrow path, stay out of trouble, see if he can produce in a full season. Remember, he hasn't played a full season in 2 years. Not this year, not last year. So can he get me a full season? And then I'll address it next offseason. And yeah, there's a potential financial cost to that. But I also would rather have that situation come up than you pay him this offseason, even if it's viewed as a slight discount. And then whether he's hurt next year, whether there's another issue, whatever it may be, I would proceed just with some caution. That's all on giving the extension. That's how I would do it.
It's just weird because of the suspension and the injuries and all this other stuff. His career is going to look really weird for 3 years. Through 3 years, let's say he plays the last four games, he's going to have 23 games played in 3 years. Well, that's too low, right? Like, that's barely, you know, that's barely anything, not including the playoffs, obviously. He will have finished with 938 yards, 288 yards, and then something in the, based on his current average, gold, 670, you know, like 800 yard range. So 938, 288, and 800 yards. And you're like, the touchdowns are there. The yards per game is there. But you're right. I think at this point you might, and I normally advocate pay early because I think the Chiefs wait too long sometimes. Therefore, like Trey Smith, then have to overpay the position. And you're trying to avoid that in some cases. But in his, there's so many unknowns.
Yeah.
How can you really early pay unless he's willing to take a significant, like I'm trying to think about which wide receiver he'd have to be paid like for me to be like, yeah, okay. Because it can't be anywhere near the top probably 10 guys. Like, I'm not paying him anywhere near Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CD Lamb. Those are all the highest paid guys. Right now, the 10th highest paid wide receiver is Tyreek Hill at $30 million, T. Higgins at $28. Look, if he take $28 million, I might give it to
him. I'm just saying, you know, Nate Taylor saying maybe there's an effort problem. I know Andy Reid said there's not, but
never said anything
right. So you got, maybe there's a question of effort. You've got the legal issues in the past and the history coupled with what they already knew at around the draft time. And he's not a free agent after this season. I would just wait. I don't need to give him an extension this offseason. That's all. Prove to me that, like, prove me wrong kind of thing. Right? Frankly, like, prove me wrong that I made a mistake by not paying you the year early. I'm willing to take that risk if I'm Brett Veach and say, you know what? Wow, we should have signed him a year earlier. Normally, I would say, no, you need to be ahead of the curve so it doesn't cost you financially. This is a player, though, I think there's way too much risk involved here to say we got to rush to go pay him this offseason.
Top end wide receivers make $40 million a year. He takes $20 million a year. You sign him.
Well, yeah, right? Absolutely. I just don't think he's, even with his issue, he's not taking that discount. I don't think. I know he needs money. I know he needs money given his legal problems. Sure. But I still don't think, like, we talk about discounts. What that number? I mean, I don't know any player that's taking that kind
of
discount.
That's a robbery, practically, if he took that kind of paycheck, considering he would pace for out this year a 1,200-yard receiver. You're correct.
Random question.
The random question today is brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, you, Drew, text line 913-586-7965. And, of course, on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, we live stream the show 4 hours every single day. So it's kind of a twofold random question. I want to know something about your group chats. Nothing incriminating.
Okay, all right.
And then also about the interest in a particular thing. So Mina Kimes was on Pablo Torre's podcast, and they were talking about a group chat that they are in together that is just one group chat with a group of people, and the only thing they discuss in it is Avatar. Don't know why it started that way. She claims it's not a very good movie, but that it is a thing that has come and that they were trying to make plans about to go see the new Avatar movie. So the question I have for you is, what is the one group chat thing that exists with you guys that for whatever reason, either that group chat or another, is a constant form of conversation that you don't understand why you're in this one? I know mine. And second, does anyone want to see this new Avatar movie?
No.
Is there a soul? Do you know a single person in your life that wants to go to the theaters to check out this Avatar movie? Because I don't, and I'm not going to see it. And I don't know anybody who wants to see it.
So I love the original. I love the original Avatar. I didn't see the second one I think they already came out with, right?
They had a second one?
Isn't this the third? Yes. This is the third.
The Way of Water was the second one.
The first one I thought, you know, given at the time it was released, it was incredible, right? The visuals were awesome and all that. I have no interest in seeing any more. The first one, though, was...
Would you ever rewatch it, though? Like, Avatar ever going to catch a rewatch in your life?
I'd have to be with, like, my nephews or something, I guess.
Why are they watching Avatar? Don't put them through that.
That movie was really, 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 really good.
I never saw it, and it seems like it has very mixed reactions. I know a lot of people thought it stunk.
Yeah. What?
Look, I mean, it's a movie review. There's plenty of people that, that's just a normal.
I never saw it. And I have even less interest in the sequels. They look so stupid.
I don't know if I would like it as much now. I mean, back then also some of it, Drew, was not only was I thought the plot was good, but also the visuals for its time were like, oh my God, we've never seen anything like this. And now I don't know if we would be as amazed. I mean, I saw it the one time in theaters and I've never watched it again. And this was, when did that come out, guys? 15 years ago? I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think that was the big thing between the first and the second one is it was a long period of time in between where you kind of lost interest in it.
But to answer your group chat question, there's a group chat I have, but it's not like, why are we talking about it? There's a group chat I'm in that all we talk about is this current fantasy football league that I'm in. That's it.
And it's everybody in the fantasy. Yep. I'm in one fantasy football group chat, and fantasy is pretty much the only thing discussing it. I'm in a group chat that I would say 80% of the conversation is wrestling related. And as somebody who does not watch wrestling.
Yeah, you're not a wrestling guy.
No, but they are. And I'm friends with them.
Do you ever respond?
Therefore, I don't have any opinion. I mean, occasionally I might drop.
So you're just in there, just peeking in.
I'm just like on the side of the life, you know?
Okay.
I don't have any particular affinity for it. I have side. Do you guys have any of those? Do you guys have any side group chats from the main group chat? Where you don't really.
For sure.
Classic, right?
For sure.
Where there's like the main group chat's like 11 people, 12 people, and the five of you would like to discuss. I have group chats that I swear to God, the only thing we do is discuss what the other people are talking about in the other group chat that you're not trying to toss into there. Does that sound about right to you guys?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The side group chat. Are there side group chats without me? Probably, huh?
I don't know. I mean, our group chat, the one with some coworkers, there was some text today, I guess.
Barber thinks the Chiefs make, he wrote out how the Chiefs make the playoffs and has every AFC West team fading out besides the Chiefs. Okay. Maybe we turn it around.
Okay.
Sure. Sure.
Shout out to
Barber.
There
were a few people who said they liked Avatar for what it's worth.
I really liked the first one. Yeah. I wanted to see the second one. I haven't. So
someone
I guess
says,
I.
Someone says it's just Pocahontas,
things.
But with aliens. I mean, I get.
So
I,
wait, they're
I,
just I, like going across the country in search
well, the
of,
company. Well, the, this company is taking over this certain area and like displacing these aliens. And then there's one of the humans from the bad guy side that tries to help save. Like, that's the Pocahontas connection.
The description of this plot makes this movie sound stupid.
No, it's like Pocahontas for aliens.
Cody, I think Pocahontas for aliens.
Cody, I think you really should sell me on it. Cody. Pocahontas with aliens does not sell me on seeing Avatar. So it does the opposite.
Part of the storyline as well is the main character, I forget his name, but the main character.
Try to talk to this more.
The main character is in a wheelchair. He's a former, like,
This is getting so much worse.
Hang on, you have to hear me out. He's a vet, and they're using him in this experiment, essentially, where he hops into this box, so like essentially a coffin, and he enters this world as an avatar, just like these other people. And I think he falls in love with the fact, not only that...
He infiltrates this tribe, that's the Pocahontas connection. So he falls in love with this lady, essentially,
but also... He doesn't have, his legs are amputated. He has legs in, as an avatar. He can run again. He gets the feeling of running again and having a fully composed body. And I think that's part of what he also enjoys and embraces. And he sides along with the aliens in this movie.
You guys are actively making the odds of me watching this movie worse. Like, I mean, it sounds dumber. The more you describe it, Cody, in 2154, the more you describe it, the less I want to see it.
I will say a lot of people are correct, though. I think a lot of people might just be going to see the movie because you get the Doomsday trailer within the movie. Of course, you'll be able to see it on social media as well.
Yeah, why am I going to the movie to get the trailer I can watch on online?
I think it's because you get you're the first ones to see it. You get the cinematic experience, the cinematic trailer, as opposed to the shorter version I'm sure that we're going to get.
Excellent. Someone said, is Drew doing a movie review for the movie kids? I don't know.
Now, my friend, the text line and my friend Nathan, they're both saying it's more like Dances with Wolves than it is. And I doubt Drew even knows what Dances with
but
Wolves
is. But it's an alien version of that. That's fair.
I've never heard of that movie before.
That's fair. I actually think you would like it. You just are so negative about it going in. I don't know if there's any chance you'll like it because you're going to pick apart every little thing.
No chance.
But I also feel like
I might have less appreciation for James Cameron post-1996 than most, it appears.
I'd
have to look up all of his movies, but it doesn't seem like I have. And he's also planning like 14 of these or something.
The problem now is at the time I remember I was so amazed with the visual element of the movie. And now you would not be as amazed because
it looks like a lot of other movies. Yeah. But I think you should see it.
Now people are mad at you, Drew, for not watching Dances with Wolves. Now people are mentioning Fern Gully. I have seen Fern Gully. I don't know what that is.
When did that movie come out?
Cartoon from our
Dancing
childhood.
With Wolves. When did that movie release?
I don't know. Early 90s.
Please, Papa. Yeah.
I was born in 1995, so that movie might be older than I am.
My kids aren't asking to go watch Avatar right now. They're excited for the new SpongeBob
movie. Kids sitting through a
three-hour
movie. Good luck.
No chance.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got the new SpongeBob movie coming out.
Are you going to see that?
And now people are telling me to go see new... I can't even see... Someone says the 3D one was awesome for the Avatar. I can't even see 3D movies. My eyes don't work that way. I can't...
Oh,
wait,
yeah, you've
I
talked
can't
about
do
that.
It.
You've talked about
oh,
that.
Oh, man.
It seems kind of gimmicky anyway, but I might just be saying that as someone who's never been able to see it, so... I was like, it seems kind of stupid. The one time I remember, like, when I realized finally, Drew, that I didn't have a vision, we went to a 3D screening of something with people, and we got out of there, and I'm like, what a waste of time. What was like... Nothing was 3D. What are we even doing here? And then I found out a year later that my eyes can't like focus at the same time.
So everybody else got the experience, but you did not.
Yeah.
I once saw...
Can't see like a 3D movie. I can see it in 3D.
I don't know why I saw this movie. I don't think it was the wrong movie either. I once saw March of the Penguins, dead serious, in the movie theater.
What?
I don't know why. And I don't even know if I necessarily agreed to it. I was hanging out with some friends and they said, hey, let's go see this movie. I said, sure. March of the Penguins.
10 minutes feels like a lifetime when I'm watching that.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah, that movie. 100%.
So, as much as you guys like the first Avatar, neither of you are going to go see it.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. We learned about group chats. We learned about Avatar.
Whoa, is this true? This text, real quick. You've got my attention from the 816. Someone says Peaky Blinders is coming out with a movie in theaters.
Yeah, you didn't know this?
That might get me back to the theaters.
It's coming out, I believe, in March.
Oh, heck yeah.
Because what they were going to do, instead of doing a new season, they're making a movie.
Great. Oh, this is, I truly had no idea.
There's also another Knives Out movie.
I'm very excited about this.
Like the
now we would have the same cast? Like, are we still going to
get Cillian Murphy and all those.
Yeah.
Yeah, Killian's in there.
Oh, this is great. The Immortal Man.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I just, okay.
That might be one of the best shows.
It's an all-timer. It is an all-timer.
In like TV
it's not top
history.
Three, but it's an all-timer. It could still be an all-timer.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Peaky Blinders is up
there. This is the first time I feel like there's a show that both you and Drew have watched.
Well, we've gone over this.
You guys have very little TV commonality.
I haven't kept up with the Scooby-Doo releases as of late.
They haven't either because there's no new ones.
All right. Up next, let's get back into a little bit on the college football route. What just happened out in Utah that could change the way college sports operates? And then Josh Klingler will join us a little bit later on the 1 o'clock hour to talk some Chiefs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.